Live from 49ers headquarters in Santa Clara, California, this is 49ers Radio with your host, Taylor Price.
What's up, everybody? We're back with a 49ers Radio podcast. Taylor Price joined by Joe Fan.
What's up?
With the wall in between us once again.
Hey, it's all good. It gets us in the zone of what we're about to say.
Don't psych each other out.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you call the repair shop? Did you get your normal equipment back? Did you call?
I didn't call the repair shop. It'll be on my to-do list today. Yeah. There's just been some things going on. It's like we are looking for a new head coach and general manager or something.
At the same damn time.
The same time.
Yeah. It's crazy how that happens.
It is.
Yeah, let's give a little menu of today's podcast. We're going to talk about the updated names, the list, if you will. We're looking at, what, 5 coaches, 6 GMs so far as of today, Tuesday, January 10th. We'll talk about what's going on with Torrey Smith, Greg Olsen. I think that's a nice charitable aspect of what's going on with the team. And we can get into your weekend plans. And then, of course, we'll talk about last night's game. We'll start with that.
Last night's game. Yeah. What a game it was.
It was a good sports moment.
Decent football.
Meryl Streep. She missed a good one.
Okay, I have missed this whole boat. What is the whole Meryl Streep thing?
So she won the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes. And, you know, she had a passionate plea in a speech. And one of the things she mentioned was that if you don't have international foreigners as actors, you have no arts. You're left with just football and mixed martial arts, which is not an art.
Oh.
It's a little sports shade.
It's like just a random thing to throw in. God forbid America be left with just football. What would we do?
Watch basketball.
What would we do?
Watch baseball. Man.
Dang.
Watch hockey. Yeah.
That's so really funny.
Yeah, it was just a little tease. But it was a great game, and I never really felt like, well, when Clemson had that second quarter touchdown drive, you kind of got the sense, okay, they're finding their way a little bit. And I think the coolest part, as our colleague and friend, Matt, I don't know if he's a colleague, I guess he's more a peer, Matt Maiocco noted that the famous catch, 35-year anniversary, is today, that they ran a variation of the sprint right option, and the play was called Crush. Pick play, and they get the game-winning score.
Orange Crush, because the Clemson Tigers wear orange. Get it?
Yeah.
Or maybe I just want some orange soda. I don't know. But regardless, that is a nice parallel with Dwight Clark on hand.
Dwight Clark, famous Clemson alum, and he's texting Matt, and he's saying that very similar to the play, the famous catch. So that was a great game. And now all the talk about Deshaun Watson, he was rumored as a mock draft candidate for the 49ers.
He was.
And now his name is going to be very connected to the top 10 of the draft.
36 of 56, 420 yards, 3 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, 21 carries, 43 rushing yards, and another touchdown.
Against the greatest college defense ever assembled, potentially. Well, you can go.
Alabama was on the field for more than 90 plays. Their defense was on the field for more than 90 plays. That is incredible.
Yeah.
To me.
That's a lot of snaps.
And so, yeah, I mean, you look at really the top two candidates, and there will be, you go back and forth. Deshaun Kizer's, his name is, will be thrown around. He was in a couple of mock drafts, but I think it's going to be a consensus, in my opinion. It's Deshaun Watson or Mitch Trubisky, and really it comes down to something where it's tools versus experience and, you know, more of that proven commodity. Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina only started for one season, never really played any big games. Deshaun Watson at Clemson went toe-to-toe with Alabama twice, nearly beat him once, beat the Tide twice, or beat the Tide the second time around. I mean, this dude, poise, leadership, solid championship culture he's coming from, if you will.
You know, he made himself a nice bit of change last night with that performance. And the other thing I think that goes in his favor is the Dak Prescott phenomenon. You have Dak Prescott coming from the SEC, played against Alabama, a lot of these top-tier defensive programs, and was overlooked. He went to the Senior Bowl, was overlooked. Now the question is, does Deshaun Watson, how much does he participate in the offseason, workouts, games, all-star games, etc.? He is going to be the bell of the ball because he left everyone with a great final impression. There's no better way to end your college career than throwing a touchdown pass, driving your team 80 yards down the field with all the chips on the line, and coming through, making it happen. And credit to Mike Williams as well. I mean, those two had such a great chemistry, and it was concerning early on. Williams takes that big shot, and he's sort of seeing stars for a minute, gets back on the field, and then those two worked so many great back shoulder throws down the field, and that was tough to defend. I mean,
Mike those receivers just made plays. I mean, the number of impressive catches. You had Hunter Renfrow. They had four receivers top 90 yards receiving.
Excuse me, future New England Patriots wide receiver Hunter Renfrow, as you were.
Yeah, agreed. That's pretty wild. Four receivers over 90 yards, none of them topped 100. But that is incredible. I mean, the options at Deshaun Watson's disposal. I think if you're a 49ers fan, you have to look at last night and say that was nothing but good for the 49ers. Because what you want is through this process, you want more picks to be those locked in top five picks to where you either fall in love with them or other teams fall in love with them. You make the Cleveland Browns question, who are in desperate need of a quarterback. Are we okay with Myles Garrett, who is, you know, going to continue to be the consensus top player skill wise, you know, take the position out of it, the top player in the draft? Or does he fall number two because now they need a quarterback and they've fallen in love with Deshaun Watson from last night? You have Mitch Trubisky, who has all the traits and all the tools where he has that projection and that upside and that ceiling where people think he can be a franchise passer. And so what you want is you want as many names at the top of that draft that are can't-miss guys where you're going to have whether you fall in love with them again and you're either getting a Myles Garrett or your next franchise quarterback, or you have a team behind you desperate to jump up, and that price tag continues to climb for the number two overall pick. And so you look at last night's game, only good things for the 49ers, the fact that Deshaun Watson stepped up once again on the biggest stage.
Really increases the trade value potentially for either top two teams. Now, those phones will be ringing to get up high in the top half of the first round. And not only those two players, but you look at, you know, Jonathan Allen at defensive line or Reuben Foster at linebacker, Humphrey at cornerback. I mean, Alabama's defense, they did give up some plays in this game, but those players were impressive. It looks like the whole first half of the first round could be Clemson-Alabama players. People are just loading up their team with this type of talent. Credit to them. Someone had to lose that game. It was unfortunate, but everyone that played, I think, will be handsome.
O.J. Howard, another name, would probably be the top tight end in this year's draft. He had four catches, 106 yards, and a score. Unfortunately, Bo Scarborough, after 93 yards on 16 carries, two touchdowns, broke a bone in his leg. He'll likely be returning to Alabama instead of declaring for the draft, but such a great season for him, especially in the college football playoff. He tore up Washington like we talked about on the live show. And again, last night, scored Alabama's first two touchdowns. You look at Reuben Foster. He had a sack and tackle for loss, 12 total tackles, led the entire game on both sides. So yeah, like you said, a lot of first rounders on both rosters.
I just pulled up CBS Sports' latest mock draft. You have Cam Robinson, tackle, at 25. O.J. Howard, tight end, at 26. And another name, edge rusher, at 11. Tim Williams. Timmy. A lot of talent. It's impressive. Did you see the sideline tent?
The sideline tent's becoming popular.
It's becoming a thing. Hey, Green Bay, you know, they had their... I'm just thinking of the sports biz angle to this. How long before sponsors get on the tent and throw their logo over there?
The sideline tent brought to you by X medical provider?
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I need a commission.
That you do. You heard it here first.
I need a commission. Well, there's really no good segue, but speaking of commissions, the agent of Sean McDermott might be getting a commission because he interviewed for the 49ers head coaching position just this morning.
Yeah, an interesting name.
6 a.m. local time.
In Philadelphia for quite some time, now spent 6 years as the Panthers defensive coordinator. Obviously led that team to a Super Bowl in 2015 right here at Levi's Stadium. Super Bowl 50. That year they had, what was it, 34 takeaways? 34, 39, something like some outrageous number of takeaways.
A lot of peanut
the man, punches. The man can coach some defense. And obviously of note, I mean, the first four candidates were all offensive minds. And so you look at that Sean McDermott is the first defensive coach to be interviewed for the job.
And what I would wonder, and not, I don't know anything, just speculating, run that quote back, I don't know anything, that Sean McDermott maybe brings Ken Dorsey as an offensive coach. Ken Dorsey, former 49ers draft pick, starting quarterback for a little bit of a season or two. We all remember him from the U. He was a famous quarterback with Ed Reed and Frank Gore and all those, Clinton Portis, all those great teams. So maybe, you know, Ken Dorsey comes over. I digress. The other name, Louis Riddick, ESPN, and I was just writing about this. You never get a GM candidate on TV talking about the team he potentially could work for, the players that he could potentially be evaluating. It's a very unique New York situation where you have a GM on TV potentially coming into your front office. So everything he said publicly can and will be used against him, as we've seen some of these writers here. Go back in the archives and look at some of the things he said.
Yeah, I mean, when you're an analyst, you're on Twitter putting your opinions publicly, and you're on TV every day putting out your opinions publicly. And so it's grasping at everything he said in those quotes and who he might be linked to as a head coach option. But it's definitely a unique situation where, you know, it's hard to find a lot of info about some of these guys who, you know, are very much, you know, kind of in the shadows, hard at work, where
hard to find photographs.
He's certainly a public figure, and he's got experience with two different teams, being the director of pro personnel, more than a decade of personnel experience in NFL front offices. And so he's not, his opinions don't come without a background of
knowledge.
There's
a reason why he's on ESPN. He didn't just show up and they're like, okay, you can talk ball. Come on. He earned the right to be an insider.
Exactly. So, fascinating stuff. I think, you know, we've heard the speculation and the reports of who else is on the docket for these interviews, and it looks like it's going to continue through the week. You know, two full weeks of first round of interviews, and then it'll be interesting to see kind of how the list whittles down, or if some of the interviews get canceled based on something going really well, or, you know, what. It doesn't look like anyone is in a rush. And even though the first domino fell yesterday with Doug Marrone staying in Jacksonville, now their head coach, there's only five opportunities left in terms of head coach openings. Doesn't look like any other team is necessarily in a rush to make that announcement and get to a final decision, 49ers included.
Yeah, it's a steady process, and I think we're seeing names every single day, basically, and it doesn't seem like the machine has come to a halt by any means. So if you haven't gone over there or seen the full list, I'll just go through real quick. Head coaches, Anthony Lynn, Buffalo Bills interim coach, interviewed on January 4th. Kyle Shanahan, the Falcons offense coordinator, interviewed on the 6th. Josh McDaniels, popular name for this job, interviewed January 7th. Sean McVay, the offense coordinator for the Washington Football Club, interviewed January 9th. And McDermott, interviewed this morning. Now with the GMs, Elliot Wolf, Packers director of football operations, January 5th. He was followed up later in the afternoon by his colleague, Brian Gutekunst, Packers director of college scouting.
And what was that? What was his name?
Gutekunst.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
George Payton, spelled Patton, Vikings assistant GM, interviewed on the 6th. Jimmy Ray III, vice president of football operations for the Indianapolis Colts, interviewed on the 8th. Brandon Bean, assistant GM of the Panthers, on January 9th. And Louis Riddick, ESPN hot take extraordinaire, former Philadelphia Eagles personnel man, interviewed today, the 10th as well. So a lot going on. It's fluid. And we're hearing a lot of speculation that McDaniels, Riddick, that might be an avenue that the 49ers could be considering.
I mean, it's obviously intriguing just to kind of play connect the dots by yourself and going through all the candidates and where they connect and where their paths have crossed. I mean, look at just the candidates today. Sean McDermott and Louis Riddick, both in Philadelphia together at the same time.
And Brandon so Bean, there's a connection. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott.
Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. So you can draw the lines and the parallels all over. And so it really just is going to be interesting to see where it ultimately the decision falls. But there's so many reports and speculation out there. you know, it's impossible to decipher what, you know, might come to fruition and what is just kind of white noise.
Yeah. And there's also the talk about Seattle. We haven't gotten into those names just yet, but they haven't been confirmed or set up officially, but there's talk early on in the process that the 49ers were going to look at some names in Seattle. And now that their season is still, they're still going on, it could delay the process. And so you have to wait and see how these teams, how they finish in the postseason. The Chiefs reportedly blocked Chris Ballard from interviewing with the 49ers for GM. And if they lose this weekend to Pittsburgh, maybe that block is opened up and the 49ers potentially could have an interview there. So a lot to play out. The postseason games, you're interviewing teams that are going for a championship. This is sort of the wait-and-see process that you have to abide by.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the waiting game, but, you know, it's fun to kind of be a part of it while it goes, while it continues.
And other things it's fun to be a part of, segue number two, the Torrey Smith Twitter Challenge. That was a blast. Took the L. Didn't go our way exactly, but, you know, I think great recognition for Torrey Smith's charitable work, great publicity for the Torrey Smith Family Fund. You can check it out on Twitter, at TS Family Fund, and, of course, at Torrey Smith Wide Receiver. Great stuff from him, coming up ultimately short to Greg Olsen and his army of celebrity friends, but job well done.
600,000 mentions, nothing to scoff at. Very impressive work and dedication.
Third place was 200,000.
So he spent well over $1,000 at the team store for giveaways for it. I mean, he's a man of his word, and he's doing a retweet. Go retweet his pin tweet up top now, and he says, you know, for every retweet up to 25K, he's going to donate his own money into the fund. And Greg Olsen donated some of his money to Torrey Smith, and so it's really just gone back and forth. It's been a friendly competition, and now that's all settled, so much great awareness for two really great organizations.
Hard to top that. I mean, I just think it's a cool thing that not only were they raising awareness for their own causes, at the end they were very recognizing of each other's great work in the community and donating to each other's charities. It's totally a great look, and well said and well done for what the mission of the Walter Payton Award is all about. It's recognizing leaders within these communities, and when they acknowledge each other in this way, I think it's a great thing. So definitely was one of my favorite player social media moments of this last few days. Another one, just to bring it full circle back to our opening segment or conversation, was last night. You know, I couldn't help but think of good old Bradley Pinion and how excited he must have been. And I think him and Carlos had a friendly wager over the semifinal game. And so as it was getting exciting, I tweeted, somebody check on Pinion 92. And sure enough, middle of last night, 10:37, good old Bradley tweets back, I'm alive. No voice, but alive. That, my friends, peak Bradley Pinion. Sweet, innocent, wholesome. He's safe. Checking in, letting everybody know he's safe.
There you go. Congrats to him.
You know, I don't know what I would be doing if my school, you know, if Chapman University had won the the volleyball championships or whatever it was. Who knows where Joe would be?
Who knows? You'd be looking for me. I'd be MIA.
I just thought that was a good representation of how sweet and caring and, you know, polite young man Bradley Pinion is, the way he responded back.
Very polite young man.
I'm alive. No voice, good for him. I'm alive, yeah.
We're happy for him.
Happy for him. And it was cool that some of those Clemson teammates, I think it was Boulware, was talking about the DeAndre Hopkins of the world, guys who set the table for them. No mention of Bradley Pinion, unfortunately, but we all know. We all know.
And our condolences to Quentin Dial.
Yeah. Yeah. Torrey Smith was getting him pretty good last night. You okay? You okay there, big fella?
Yeah.
He'll be okay.
A little bit of a sassy reply, asking about how many rings Torrey has, which is probably the wrong guy to ask about rings.
Yeah, touche. A good tweet from our photographer, Kim Fortino. Roll tears. That was good.
Yeah, roll tears.
I chuckled at that one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, so it's off-season time, so we're living and dying on what our players are tweeting on social media, but it's important that We got to know what they're up to, and we'll be checking in on them throughout the year. The live show unveiled our new segment, the Catching Up With segment. So, you know, our players, they're away, but they're never gone for long. They'll be around.
They'll be there.
They'll be there. They will be there. All right, so we're at middle of the week. We'll have more mock draft coverage, more coaching search, GM search coverage. Playoff picks, we'll have that later this week. We won't have to talk about the Houston Raiders game. I got that one right. You didn't, but
you did. You did. I had too much faith, it turns out, in Connor Cook.
Tough assignment.
It's a tough assignment.
I was really impressed with Jadeveon Clowney.
Played pretty well.
But Clowney, though, that interception, falling
backwards,
it's a heck
of a play.
Tipping the ball to himself like it's a volleyball. It's impressive.
Turnovers turn into points. That's the recipe.
It's good to see J.J. Watt back. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Missed him on the NFL sidelines, fields. Mm-hmm. So, as much as we can get him on the mix. All right, so we will finish up with another podcast. We'll do Thursday, most likely, unless something changes. You never know. Hey, we're like doctors. We have pagers, and we're waiting by our phones for important news to break.
Yes, sir.
Picks, more coverage, and more Joe Fan coming at you throughout the week. Make sure you check out 49ers.com. Check out our tracker page. We'll have tons of updates, interviews, so on and so forth. I know you have an interview with Michael Rappaport. No,
that
Ian Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport.
Mike Rappaport's the podcast guy I like. If you got an interview with Michael Rappaport, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Sorry. But Ian's like kind of meh.
Yeah. No, Ian's cool.
That'll be great. Good info.
Good info for you, the audience. And the more we can do, the more we will. What else? Am I forgetting anything else? iTunes, subscribe.
Yeah.
Leave a 5-star rating.
Do all that.
If you leave a 5-star rating on our iTunes account, we will read the comments on next week's show. How about that? Our next show. So subscribe to us on iTunes. Make a 5-star rating. Tell us what you want to see on the podcast. Give us your scorching hot take. You know, put it in the oven, bake it. And we'll pull it out on the next week's next podcast. We'll talk about it.
There you go.
All right. Find us on iTunes and tune in, and we'll have more. Make sure you follow Joe on Twitter, @Joe_fan2ends. I am @TaylorPrice. This is the 49ers Radio Podcast, and we wish you a happy afternoon. Enjoy.